That was Friends Forever from Jason Kao Huang, Anders Nilsson, and Michael T.A. Thompson's Book of Stories. The fifth group is Jonathan Blake's Passage. Here is West Berkeley, West Berkeley Street.
Thank you. know you must be tired, but give me a call when you get a chance. I want to walk through this whole thing this weekend with you when you get a chance. All right, but
hey, John, man, come up tomorrow.
Hey, John, Dad, catching up with you. Just trying to catch up with you. Let me call me.
I would like to shift gears to the SFU Red Leafs hockey, which play in the British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League at this time. On October 14th, SFU hosted the Okanagan Lakers at Bill Copeland for the home opener as the Red Leafs started its home schedule in the 2023-24 BCIHL regular season. The visiting Lakers started on fire right out of the gate as they hemmed the Red Leafs in their own zone and were awarded 4:30 into the game on a Joe Davison goal. After going down by one, SFU picked up their play with more territorial play and shots on Okanagan goal, but couldn't beat the Lakers' backstop Connor Lemieux. Meanwhile, Okanagan didn't back down as they continued to put more shots on the SFU backstop. Cooper Giesbrecht hit two posts and went up 2-0 with 21 seconds left in the first as Colton Boyarski eluded Giesbrecht. The Lakers went into the first intermission up 2-0 with a 15-10 edge in shots. The Red Leafs got on board 31 seconds into period 2 as its BCIHL team captain Nick Wagner beat Connor Lemieux. However, Okanagan restored its 2-goal lead 3:07 later as Jis DeShepherd scored on Cooper Giesbrecht. The visitors amped up pressure deep in the SFU zone for the most of period 2 when it had a 5-on-3 advantage and hit two posts past the SFU backstop Giesbrecht, who closed the door for the rest of the middle frame. His Red Leafs teammates awarded him as Troy Wansnick eluded Connor Lemieux on a man advantage with 2:47 in period 2. Okanagan went into the second intermission with a 3-2 lead with an 18-9 edge in shots in the middle frame. SFU tied the game at 3, 7-11 into period 3 as Max Lifeless scored on Connor Lemieux. Unlike the first two periods, the play was fairly even, but the Lakers went up 4-3 as Joe Davison scored his second of the night with 7:58 left in regulation. The Red Leafs pulled their goalie Cooper Giesbrecht less than 3 minutes left in the game, but were denied by the Lakers skaters and backstop Connor Lemieux. Okanagan iced the game with 2 seconds left as KT Walters scored into the SFU's empty net as Okanagan spoiled SFU's BCIHL home opener with a 5-3 win. While the shots were 11-8 Okanagan in the third period, the Lakers outshot the Red Leafs 44-27 in the game for their first ever victory over SFU.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is October 14th, 2023. I'm just outside of the SFU Red Leafs hockey team's locker room, and I'm interviewing
Mark Storrs,
the head coach for the SFU Red Leafs BCIHL squad, who fell to the visiting Okanagan Lakers 5-3. In the Red Leafs BCIHL home opener this season. First of all, what was different tonight compared to the last weekend when SFU won 4-2 in Kelowna against the very same Okanagan Lakers?
I think we're just short bodies today. You know, we're only playing with 4D, so you know, a little bit of tired legs. To get off the start, and we struggled a little bit with getting the energy at the start. We turn it on, you know, through the middle of the game and towards the end. But I think just being short on bodies kind of hurt us a bit today.
Okanagan hit up to four posts from what I remember on top of 44 shots. How does the Red Leafs need to improve on their defense the next game?
Well, I mean, that's something we're going to have to kind of focus on throughout the week. You know, getting down to, you know, the little details and making sure that, you know, we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's and, you know, we're staying in position rather than running around and just making sure that, you know, everyone knows their job and what they need to do and make sure that, you know, we come out with the puck instead of leaving the zone without the puck.
Tell me your opinion of the Red Leafs backstop Giesbrecht's play tonight.
Coop, I mean, he's a great goalie. He stands on his head, especially tonight. With all those shots, you know, he's stopping three, four shots at a time, a bunch of rebounds. And, you know, we got to do a better job of clearing in front of the net and helping a little bit. But tremendous job by Coop tonight. And, you know, he's always been a solid defender. And it's unfortunate that we didn't really help him all that much today.
Finally, this is a question regarding the BCIHL and non-conference roster. If the Red Leafs make the playoffs, how will the roster look like?
Are you talking about more for towards playoff time?
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking to add some players. Here we got a couple guys that are, you know, just waiting for eligibility. And as soon as, you know, that's clear, then we'll have them back in the roster. So for now, yes, we are a little short, but we're making the efforts. And guys are in the room. They're ready to make the step up when they need to. Game like this, I know, you know, it can be tough when we're low on bodies, but you know, I think we'll be fine, and as come to Christmas time, we'll be a little bit stronger team for sure.
Thank you for the interview tonight, and good luck the rest of the season.
All right, thank you.
Hi, it's Steve Chong once again. I'm now with the captain of the SFU Red Leafs BCIHL squad,
Nick Wagner.
As I've said before, the Red Leafs are coming off a 5-3 defeat in their BCIHL home opener for the 2023-24 season. First of all, what was different tonight compared to last weekend when SFU doubled up the very same Okanagan Lakers?
Well, you know, we came out here with the same kind of mindset to just play hard and play our game. And, you know, this week we worked on our systems and all that. But end of the day, it just came down to some small details that we didn't execute on, especially in the D zone. And we're going to look to work on that. But, yeah, just small details that we didn't execute on. And hopefully we'll get to work on that.
Now the voice recorder is playing. So we were just talking about how the Red Leafs can improve their defensive play after surrendering 44 shots on goal to the visiting Okanagan Lakers.
Yeah, like I said, just small little details that we need to work on, like winning wall battles and taking our guys down low. But yeah, obviously spent a lot of time in our defensive zone tonight. So main thing is just getting it out of our zone so we can get offensive pressure. Last week we did a really good job of that and maintaining time in the O zone. So if we can get back to that and get to work in the other end, that's really the key to minimize those shots down in our end. So yeah.
The head coach, Mark Soros, claimed that the Red Leafs were down to four D-men. Elaborate on
obviously we're short numbers right now, and we can bring up APs here and there, but you know, end of the day we have to deal with what we have. We've got an extra forward on the offensive side, so we can sometimes toss him back. So Lightfoot stepped up tonight and took some shifts back on D and did a good job of that. But yeah, end of the day, it's very, very taxing on our D-men just having four guys back there. So that definitely contributes to a little little bit of tiredness that goes on in the D zone. And like I said, end of the day, we need to get it out of our zone. So it gives them a little break to keep that in mind.
Now I'd like to shift gears to your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
I started down in Seattle, Washington.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
Back in, I believe it was 2015 with the Everett Junior Silver Champs.
Wow.
Yeah, they're part of the Napple Travel League, so we went all over the states, flying out every other week.
How are the Junior Silver Tips linked to the WHL Everett Silver Tips?
We use a lot of the same facilities and get a lot of exposure to their program. Not every guy was fed up through that system, and a lot of guys left to go play juniors after that instead. But our head coach of that team back then was a former Everett Silver Tips player, so there's definitely some connections that were linked to them.
So how did you end up starting your hockey journey in the Washington State and came across here?
Yeah, so I was born down there originally, born and raised down in Seattle, and then after that year with Everett, I moved up here and played with Delta Hockey Academy, and then after that year in 2017, I started playing Junior B, and then moved up to Junior A out in Ontario the next year after that.
How many years have you played with the SFU Red Leafs?
This is my third season with them.
From what I understand, I'm not sure if any of the last year's players from the BCIHL championship team came to the current BCIHL roster. Please verify.
Yeah, we have we largely have a new group. We have Maxwell Lightfoot that was with us a couple years ago as a player on our team, and then Reese Lefebvre that was on our team last year as well. So we've got a couple of us, and Liam Tivers has some college experience as well. But for the most part, we have a pretty fresh group here. A lot of guys learning the college game for the first time, but you know, it's a good learning experience for them, and for the most part, they're showing up and playing hard and giving it their all every night. So I'm impressed so far, but we still have a lot of work to do.
Finally, near the playoff time, how will the BCIHL SFU and non-conference Red Leafs team, how will they merge, if applicable?
I personally haven't really been informed on how that will work. As far as I know, the BCIHL team will be competing in the BCIHL playoffs. But if there's any changes to that, I'm sure we'll be informed when that's made clear.
Thank you for the interview tonight, and good luck in the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Here are the current standings in the British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League. 2 points are awarded for a win, with an OTL or shootout loss a 1 point each. Vancouver Island University is first at 2-0. Okanagan Lakers are second, 2-1, 4 points. University of Victoria, 1-1, 2 points, much like Simon Fraser. And Logan Lake Miners are last at 0-3.
Western Front will be hosting the Tuca Craft Fair from December 1st to 3rd. It will showcase a curated selection of BC-based artists, craftspeople, and designers who make textiles, ceramics, jewelry, accessories, stationery, and home and body products. The event is all about coming together, meeting artists, and connecting with what is being made in our community. If you are interested in participating as a vendor, make sure to submit the application form by August 31st. To access the application form and for more details of this event, visit tucacraftfair.com. The Vancouver Art Gallery presents Parviz Tanavali, Poets, Locks, Cages, the first major Canadian exhibition of works by the Iranian-born, Vancouver-based artist, Parviz Tanavali. The exhibition brings together over 100 major works, representing his six-decade career, and spans the full breadth of his practice from sculpture and painting to printmaking and mixed media assemblages. To learn more about this exhibition, visit fanartgallery.bc.ca.
The sixth group is La Securite, Stay Safe. The track is Le Kick. The following content has some explicit language, so listener discretion is advised. I'd like to talk about the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very divisive issue within Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing municipality in British Columbia, in the last 5 years, when the then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum in less than 1,000 votes on October 15th, 2022. Locke, as the chair of the Surrey Police Board, has done whatever she could to sabotage the transition, but was ordered by Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. Last Friday, Locke announced that Surrey is taking the BC government to the Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. 3 days later, on October 16th, the BC government responded as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36 2023, Police Amendment Act 2023. Key changes are: A. Municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. B. The director may superintend the implementation of a municipality required to provide policing. C. Allows the minister to terminate the agreement, i.e. with the Surrey RCMP, which was renewed on April 1st, 2012, with a written notice to the City of Surrey. D. The Lieutenant Governor and Council, Janet Austin, can appoint at least one person as an administrator for the Surrey Police Board, where in case of one administrator, it will be the chair of the Surrey Police Board. And E. Other memberships of the SPT will be suspended. Brenda Locke, in response to Police Amendment 2023, said the Surrey City staff is reviewing the legislation and still wants to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 17th, Clayton Pickold, BC's Police Complaint Commissioner, penned a letter outlining his concerns of the BC Police Amendment Act 2023, including Surrey residents having limited ability to mention valid concerns of how policing is provided, which will be the Surrey Police Service, and to impartially and clearly address their concerns. On October 18th, Bill C-36 2023, or the Police Amendment Act, advanced to the second reading. Yesterday, Bruce Banman, a BC Conservative MLA for Abbotsford, which has its own municipal police force, called for a referendum on the Surrey Police Service. However, according to the Surrey Police Service website, they have over 300 officers hired. Let me look at their latest numbers. Just bear with me for a minute. As of September 13th, there have been 400 sworn and civilian staff, with 200 officers on the ground. Thank you for listening to episode 41 of the Steve Chong Show in 2023, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We respectfully acknowledge that we broadcast on unceded ancestral territory of the Coast Salish peoples. We stream online at cjsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and listen to our podcasts on SoundCloud and our website, cjsf.ca. Have a request? Text or call us at 778-782-2573.